What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Joining me this week, as always, my co-host and my cohort in crime and all terrible things that we banter back and forth to. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Matt?
If you couldn't tell, I'm going to be the host of the week for a little while. Me and Holly are going to be changing things up just a tiny bit for a very brief amount of time. Then we'll probably go back to things how they were. But for this instance, as of right now, I'm going to be the host. Are you ready for a crazy ride, Holly?
Yes, I absolutely am. Except that we're kind of missing one little thing in the intro.
The intro.
Episode number.
Yeah, I was getting to it. I'm the host, Holly. Allow me to get to these things as I do. See, I was going to do the introductions. Hello, how are you doing? And then I was going to fall back to, well, listeners, thank you so much for listening. As always, this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 61. We have an awesome show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about Pokemons. We're going to be talking about recent stuff that we purchased and have we spent money on. We're going to talk about things we've been playing with our own two hands, or maybe our minds. I don't know. And then we're also going to be talking about the NX. Get ready to freak out and over-exaggerate and start rumors, because they're going to be a-flying.
I even have a little surprise for you, Matt.
I'm excited to find out what the surprise is. Rumor is you bought me an NX. Is that the truth?
Not quite. But for you listeners, we just came up with kind of our Nintendo NX wish list for the games we expect and hope for the NX launch. And, you know, I came up with a couple predictable ones. And then just before the show, I thought of this great idea. But I told Matt I would leave it for a surprise for him. So you listeners and you, Matt, y'all will have to just kind of wait till the end and find out.
I'm excited. I am very, very excited. I can't wait to find out exactly what it's going to be. But let's go ahead and start the show as we have been doing for a little while now and talk about Pokemon. We're going to now we had to talk about this, me and Holly, because we're still trying to figure out the best way to do the Who's That Pokemon game show thing that we're doing. I think that it's going okay the way that we started out recently, so we're going to stay with that right now. But if listeners, if you guys have any idea as to what you think would be a really good way to do this, please let us know, because we're always looking to improve. But as of right now, Holly, I'm going to not give you the generation right off of the back, because I do want it to be slightly more challenging. And then as we progress through this, I'm going to give you the same things that I usually do. I'm just not going to give you generation, but I will give you the generation sooner than later, before it gets like ugly.
Well, Okay. Sounds fair enough.
And also, I'm not going to give you any too many distinguishing features, because this one, I think I might have picked a bad one. I did the surprise me thing again, but when I do the surprise me button, I always try to like surprise myself by just picking a random one. That way, I don't put too much thought in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose, because it does give you a selection when you hit surprise me, and so you kind of pick a random one from the random selection.
So I'm going... Okay, so here we go. Are you ready for Who's That Pokemon?
Sure.
Okay, that wasn't as excited as you should have been.
I'm so excited. I'm pumped.
This is a Steel / Fairy Pokemon.
Okay. Gen 6.
It is actually. See, you guessed it was Gen 6. That's good right there.
Well, I already have an idea kind of who it is. Okay. I'll need to look up the name, I think. I'm going to sneak around on my laptop back here behind the scenes of Skype.
Would you like to know one of its abilities?
Sure.
It's a prankster ability? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Honestly, I'm not sure about that ability myself. It's not a super familiar one to me.
I can't tell you the category, because the category would give it away instantly if you have any idea who this might be.
Okay. That's fair enough. So, fairy and steel type. Oh my goodness. I'm just going to throw out there. I don't know if this was a Gen 5 or is it Klefki?
It is Klefki, and it is
Okay,
Gen 6.
Okay. I thought for some reason I was like, was that a Gen 5 or 6 Pokemon? So yeah,
Klefki. I realized my mistake after I had already picked the Pokemon, but it was too late and I couldn't like go back and like keep trying to find a different one.
Wait, what was wrong with you? What was the mistake?
The mistake is that it looks like a key and I can't describe it to you. I feel like I should be able to describe the Pokemon a little bit to you. Otherwise, this is like no bueno for either one of us. And every time I say that this Pokemon's difficult to describe, you're always like, oh, well, it's Klefki. That makes sense.
Because it's too obvious. That's the problem.
Is it, though?
Well, no, describing it, it's like you say, it's hard, it's quote unquote hard to describe because it's so obvious and you can't describe it without giving it away.
Well, I'll believe you on that one.
In the case of Klefki.
That was Klefki. So, Holly, you are a winner. A winner is you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Congratulations. Now it's time for you to quiz our listeners. Listeners,
yes, it who's certainly is.
That Pokemon?
Yep. So this week I just have a few little details for you listeners. The first two details that I have will keep things pretty vague, but then the last detail I feel like could give this one away pretty quickly to those who are very familiar with Pokemon. So this Pokemon, detail number one, this Pokemon is from Generation 2. Detail number two, it is a second and final evolution. I'm not sure if it has a mega evolution or not, but again, that doesn't really matter when it comes to, you know, just kind of legit permanent evolutions. So it is a second and final evolution. So think about your guesses right now before I give you pretty much what's going to give away which Pokemon this is. And that is that the type of this Pokemon, it's a dual type. It is water and electric.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that this Pokemon is both a water Pokemon and an electric Pokemon?
Yes.
Those things, like, conflict with each other.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of Pokemon that conflict with each other. There's an electric flying type in Zapdos, for example. Electric would be super effective against flying, but, you know, it happens all the time in Pokemon.
Lightning is super effective against flying?
Yes, it is.
I did not know that. I had no idea.
That's okay. There's another example that I just thought of. Generation 3, there's actually a Pokemon Ludicolo, and its pre-evolved forms, I don't remember the names of those, but Ludicolo is grass and water, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh, so, all these Pokemon with their crazy abilities.
They're conflicting types. So yeah, and like I say, listeners, with that, I think that you probably should be able, if you're very familiar with Generation 2 Pokemon, you should probably be able to figure that one out. Again, those facts are Generation 2 Pokemon, second and final evolution, and it is a dual water and electric type Pokemon. As always, you can send us your guesses as to which Pokemon that is on Twitter, through email, on the new YouTube channel that we have. You can comment there. You can even comment on NintendoFever.com, the website, however you would like to do that. And we will give away those details on how to contact us at the end of the podcast. So stay tuned for that so that you can send in your guess. Also, write it down now, though, so you don't forget.
Also, you may be wondering if we're going to be announcing the winner to the YouTube contest, but we are not because... One, me and Holly are recording a little bit earlier than we usually do, so make sure, because you'll be able to listen to this on Monday, which the contest is still technically going on until Tuesday, correct?
Right,
so
that's exactly
If you hear this day of on Monday, you still have all of Monday to go and enter into the contest on Tuesday, because we're posting the podcast on the Nintendo Fever YouTube channel on Tuesday. So you
on
have
Tuesday.
One more day. So go over there. If today is Monday, this is getting confusing. I feel like I'm time traveling.
Oh, you're doing great. You're explaining it perfectly.
If today is Monday right now, then go on to YouTube, Nintendo Fever, and leave a comment on the video for episode 60, and then you can possibly win something, $10 for the eShop on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, because today is Monday if you're listening to a day of downloading. My head hurts. I'm done. I'm all done.
With that, I think we can probably move on.
Definitely. And we're going to move on to our recent swag. Now, as for me, the guy that actually is the reason why we started doing the recent swag section, I have news that I didn't get anything.
Didn't get anything again.
I'm on a little bit of a downward vibe. Well, I did get some Sega Saturn games last week after we had already recorded, but I didn't know if I wanted to talk about them because I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them. But I got this game for the Sega Saturn called In the Hunt or Out of the Hunt. Oh, I can't remember now. It's a very bizarre sub-action arcade game, and you're a submarine, and it's a shoot 'em up. And I guess it's really rare for the Sega Saturn, which is, I had no idea.
That's pretty awesome.
When I saw it, I thought it was like a generic title of like nothing exciting. In the Hunt. Yeah, I just looked it up, and it is in fact called In the Hunt. Yes, and it's a bizarre, you're a submarine, shoot 'em up, and it's actually a rare game, and it's worth a little bit of money. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to flip it because I don't have a Sega Saturn, and I'm not interested at the moment in getting a Sega Saturn. So I might flip it in hopes to maybe get a... maybe a rare Wii game, because I haven't added any cool Wii games to my collection for a little while. But that's all I got, was that, and also Shadow Hunters for the Sega Saturn. But once again, just stuff that I think I'm going to flip, so nothing exciting on my end.
Yeah, it's exciting enough. As for me, I didn't get any recent physical swag, but I did actually cave in. I don't know why I'm using that term, because this is kind of an obvious thing, but I did get the Humble Friends of Nintendo bundle. So yes, that was pretty awesome. I mean, I got the bundle before Runbow and Swords and Soldiers, yes, 2 was added to it. And even before those two were added, I was pretty pleased with all the, you know, like download codes I got to enter in, watching all those games get added to my home screen on 3DS and Wii U. That's always so exciting. Those games were added, and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing.
I have some cool news about the Humble Friends of Nintendo bundle.
What's that?
Well, I already own Retro City Rampage DX. I already own Swords and Soldiers 2. So I'm going to have a couple of codes to be given away here soon. And we got a code donated to us from our awesome friend Rose F. Death. And he's going to actually...
Certainly did.
He's going to allow us to give away a code. So we're going to be giving up... We're going to be doing some video game giveaways as well as a theme giveaway in the very coming future. So stay tuned for that, because that's going to be exciting. Those games are really good, by the way. Retro City Rampage DX is literally a Grand Theft Auto in 2D that's just a really funny throwback to like the 80s humor and early 90s humor, so it's really quite nice. And then Swords and Soldiers 2, legitimately one of the most fun multiplayer games me and my family have ever played. We have sunk in
Which
hours.
Is kind of unexpected. It seems like a single-player kind of experience
it's
to me.
It's so good because one player uses the gamepad and one player uses the TV, so it's a really cool strategic game where both parties
Asymmetric gameplay.
It's amazing, and it's exactly what the Wii U is made for. The art style is really cool. It's very funny. It's an awesome game, but we'll be talking more about some of these games in the what we've been playing segment, I believe. So we're going to go ahead and move on from the recent swag, unless you purchased anything else besides the bundle.
Nope, not on my end.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move on now to our recent What We've Been Playing segment. Holly, do you want to talk a little bit? Because it says a word on Xenoblade Chronicles, so I'm guessing you want to kind of say your final thoughts on it?
Well, I just don't want to waste too much time under what we've been playing this week, especially since I haven't been playing anything that exciting. I just got kind of back into my New Game Plus file on Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, and then soon after I kind of got re-hooked on that, and I really got hooked on that, I must say. But soon after that happened, Xenoblade Chronicles, the original Wii game, was released in North America on the Wii U Virtual Console.
I wanted your opinion on this because I've put in about 10 hours on the 3DS version, and I'm wondering, is it worth the $20 to just buy it for my Wii U and play it on there?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think the console version where you play it on the TV screen is definitely the best way to play it if you haven't ever played it before. Like the handheld version, if you ended up liking the console version a lot, then get the handheld version and you can play it on the go, which is great. But this game is so grandiose and so huge in scale that I just feel like the teeny little, even the new Nintendo 3DS XL's touchscreen or a bigger screen does not give the world justice. And so I would say if you enjoyed your 10 hours playing the portable version and you wouldn't mind starting over and kind of being willing to dedicate the extra time to getting past that first 10 hours and then going beyond that, it's absolutely worth it because you are a fraction of the way through the game if you're only 10 hours in.
I have so much more to see.
So yeah, if you're willing to have the time commitment to actually put in the hours in this game to finish it eventually, then I would switch over to that console version, man.
All
it's
right.
It's such a huge, beautiful game.
I'm gonna think about this. I'm gonna think about it really hard.
Yeah, you better, because you're not like a huge RPG fan. But man, that game gets good. I was mostly in my portable version of my New Game Plus file. I was mostly just kind of going through the story, because with New Game Plus, you get to start the game over with like all your same levels that you're at. I was at like level 80 when I finished the game on the portable version. And so really, if you want, you can just blast through the storyline. And so that's kind of what I wanted to do, because I adore the story in this game and the characters. They're all so great. The graphics are pretty archaic. I don't know how to put this nicely, because I do want to put it nicely, because I do love this game. What was that?
Muddy.
Muddy, that's a good way to describe them. Papery, kind of, it's kind of hard to put it kindly. But the voice acting, I think, is spectacular, and the story itself is written so well, and it's got there are just some seriously awesome moments in the story, especially later on. So get past that 10 hours, get past that 20 hours, and you're gonna start seeing some pretty awesome story scenes and things like that. And so that's all I wanted to talk about today, though. To the listeners who have never played Xenoblade Chronicles, now is the perfect time to download it on your Wii U for just $20, especially if you're an RPG fan. It's one of my all-time favorite RPGs at this point. I've replayed it like a few different times now, so get it. Better time than ever to play the game, because getting a physical copy of the Wii game, not exactly the easiest thing lately. So now you can download it on your Wii U for $20. And so I think that pretty much covers everything that I wanted to say on that. Just get it, please, if you haven't already.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome, Holly. Something that I definitely want to look into getting, but maybe I might just spend a little bit more time with my 3DS version before I decide to drop more money into a game that I might never play.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have taken a great amount of advantage of the awesome Humble Bundle with the Friends of Nintendo Humble Bundle, because I have played, count them, two of the games. And they're two games that I was always super interested in and never bought for whatever reason. One of them was because I didn't ever lose interest in it, but I was going to buy it, and then the weeks just kind of got away from me, and I never looked into getting it again, basically. But that was Affordable Space Adventure.
Ah, okay.
I think Affordable Space Adventure just looks amazing, so I really, really, really wanted to get it all the time. And now that I was able to unlock it for, you know, the $12 total, or I think I spent $15. I always bump it up a little bit and give the rest to the charity and stuff like that, mm-hmm. of whatever it is that I decide to spend. But Affordable Space Adventure, if you have three people that can play with you, is outrageously fun.
It supports three-player multiplayer?
Three-player multiplayer.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I figured it was two.
Every player does something different.
That's the spaceship that you've
got?
Yes,
that is. It's so cool to have, like, Lily, my daughter, was being the pilot, so she was actually controlling where we were going. My wife was controlling our flashlight, which was also a scanner, which you also use to, like, aim your flares. And then on my gamepad, I was able to turn the engine on. I was able to control our thrust, our anti-gravity, our electric engine, our gas engine. Like, there's so many little things that you control. Plus, you have to be monitoring your noise, your heat, and your electricity in case you run into enemies that can sense one of those three things.
Woo! Sounds kind of difficult to coordinate.
It is so much fun. I mean, me, all three of us kind of yelled at each other for a little bit, and then we calmed down, and then we're like, all right. We can get through this, guys. We can do this. I believe in our family. And then the other
family
game,
unity.
The other game that we spent some time with was Runbo. This one we spent a little less time because it was getting late in the evening. But I see us having a blast with this game. I can't wait to spend a little bit more time, because it's just like one of those competitive type games where me and my daughter especially will have fun just playing against each other, whereas my wife will get annoyed at me and her playing it more than anything. And also, we tried the Color Master, which is where the person with the gamepad kind of controls what's going on the screen. And I don't know if we clicked on the thing that gave the gamepad the advantage by accident or something, but I was destroying them. Like, wasn't even funny. And my wife was like, I never want to play this game again. And I was like, wait, calm down. We'll fix this.
You know, on that note, I actually tried the Star Fox multiplayer finally.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I had my sister steer the ship because I thought, even though aiming and firing seemed kind of like the easier thing, I thought steering the ship, it seems funner. And so she might enjoy it more if we do it that way. But I don't think she enjoyed it that much, especially since there were moments in, we just played the first level together. Later on with the kind of boss, if you will, of the first level, there were some really weird camera angles for the person controlling the R-Wing, where you're constantly seeing just the side of the R-Wing. And it was very difficult for my sister to control it, and she got a little frustrated there, which I, you know, understandable. When I played that solo, I pretty much stuck with staring at the gamepad to try and figure out where I was supposed to fly and aim, because that camera angle is so unintuitive and weird. And so, yeah, there are those things, but I think she had a great time on the on-rails sections, thankfully. So maybe more of that would have been a little bit funner for her. But yeah, other than that small hiccup, she seemed to have fun. So Star Fox co-op mode, not too bad.
Might have to look into it. Have you played much of Star Fox Guard yet?
I haven't played it at all.
All right. Well, get on that, Holly. I want to hear your thoughts.
Sure.
Okay, so now, after all that awesomeness of what we've been playing, let's talk about something that we would be excited to play. You see that segue? Did you?
Oh, yes.
Did you feel the energy between the segue?
Yes.
I felt it.
If March was here,
yes.
What would we be playing on the NX?
Excited to possibly play on the NX. This is going to be just a fun little feature that we thought of, that it's going to be an NX launch wish list. These are games that, in the most simple of terms, what would you be excited for if tomorrow they announced that this is going to be an NX launch title? Come March, whenever. It's supposed to be coming out March 2017 is the only thing that we know about it, other than the fact there was a weird listing where it listed Zelda as coming out March 17th. So who knows? Maybe we're going to
be seeing
it.
Oh, that was actually a listing somewhere?
I think it was like
what day of the week is that?
I do not know what day of the week that one is.
I'm a checking.
But that was the last thing that I heard about it. But basically, we're looking at March for a launch window, which is something.
Oh, yeah, that's
Nintendo,
a Friday.
So it's a possibility, guys.
The 17th seems pretty likely to me.
We are less than a year away from a brand new Nintendo console, it looks like.
Ooh,
how crazy is that?
That is crazy.
We also know, because Nintendo recently told us exactly what they're going to do for their digital event for E3 and everything revolved around Zelda. We mm-hmm. basically know that, there is nothing else coming to the Wii U.
I wonder if they're going to move Paper Mario over to the NX then.
I would not be even remotely surprised if they did.
Me neither.
It's so funny, the amount. Thank you, Nintendo, for allowing me to play my backlog.
Yes.
I appreciate
this summer,
that.
This summer, man. We're going to do what we can to get through that backlog.
The summer of backlog.
Yes. But I'm actually looking forward to it.
I'm going to let Holly say the first game, and then I'll say my second game. And obviously, we'll kind of banter back and forth about the games. And you, dear listeners, if you have any NX launch games that you would like to see, or games that you would hope to see possibly in the NX future, please hit me up at Only Matt Desen. Hit Holly up at Only at Holly Felner.
And you also, always do that.
I know. Only is just the way that it should be. I don't know why, but I feel that way. Or Nintendo Fever Twitter account as well.
Right.
We'll give all these handles again at the end of the show. But as for now, let's talk about it, Holly. What game would you be excited for if tomorrow they announce this is going to be a launch title for the NX?
Well, this isn't necessarily a dream game, because this is a series where, I've only recently sort of gotten into it in the grand scheme of things.
You
maybe it was a few years ago.
Oh, yet.
It was a few years ago when I first experienced this series, and I did not have that great of a first experience with it, but I have enjoyed it mildly ever since, and that is Animal Crossing. So this is more of an expectation, just because the Animal Crossing mobile app that will be coming out this fall, and the fact that it will supposedly connect somehow with the Animal Crossing universe on dedicated gaming systems just makes me think that Animal Crossing could be a launch title for the NX, and that would be amazing. for the NX, not necessarily for me. I mean, I'd probably get it, but I'm sure a ton of other people would be excited for it as well. So I think it could be really good for the system's launch.
I personally really do enjoy the Animal Crossing series. I loved the GameCube one back in the day. I enjoyed the Wii one, though I never got heavy into it. I absolutely adored the DS one, and then I also just became an addict when it came to the 3DS version of it.
Yeah, so, that's an excellent game. Even I enjoyed that one. I feel like it kind of balanced out the gameplay a little to where people who, I don't know, aren't already indoctrinated basically into the series could enjoy it for what it was, even if they didn't go all hardcore like a lot of people did, because I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I still feel like I'm not quite indoctrinated into the Animal Crossing series just yet.
There's nothing that you need to be indoctrinated to, but the NX, I think, would be really cool. I think that us as Nintendo fans will always hope for the stars and the moon, and I think we will want it to be like an MMO-type experience or something very open-ended or very internet-friendly, and sadly, it probably won't, just because that's Nintendo's way. I mean, they just don't normally give fans what they kind of want, though they do sometimes to a certain extent. So I'm not going to.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure it'll be better than it has, you know, than Nintendo's recent online.
I mean,
like, it'll be a step above, but it won't quite be to, you know, the rest of the world's standards, I suppose.
We'll see. It's exciting to see the possibility. But as for that, I'm going to go ahead and say what I'm excited for possibilities coming out. Now, I'm going to say two games. But neither one of these games, what I'm saying is that I expect them to be the launch wish list that I have. But I just wanted to say them because two of my absolute favorite game series that was on the Wii was Red Steel and No More Heroes. I don't know if you're familiar with either of these games. Are you, Holly?
I'm familiar based on just the Nintendo Power coverage is all.
Okay. Well, Red Steel is the original Red Steel is a very mediocre game that sold a lot because it was a launch game for the Wii. And then Red Steel 2 was amazing. It had a cool art style. It had awesome controls. It had a decent little story behind it. But it was just a blast to play. And ever since we got the Wii U, all I've wanted is a Red Steel 3. Now that we're moving over to the NX, once again, all I want is a Red Steel 3. And then also No More Heroes. Now, I know you may not be super familiar with that series. It is a mature-rated series. It has a lot of vulgarity and a lot of blood and decapitation. So it's awesome, like, totally. But they made a second game, which was very surprising.
Oh, all of this is Ubisoft.
Yes.
I'm just now finding out.
No More Heroes, the first one, was a amazing game, not only for, like, the mature rating in the fact that, like, it was very violent at a time when there wasn't a lot of, like, violent games for the Wii. But the actual writing, I would recommend Holly, instead of playing the game and, like, going through, like, the bloody parts of it, just go on YouTube and type in No More Heroes cutscenes, and you can watch the dialogue that's spoken between Travis Touchdown and the bosses that he fights at the end of each mission. And honestly, some of the absolute best written dialogue in a video game. I mean, it's just, they make it feel like what you're about to witness is an event of, like, of these, like, of a huge magnitude. You know, they're very important fights.
Even though it's all kind of crass at the same time.
Exactly, but it was a really cool story because the idea was that you accidentally, you know, came onto this assassin's hit list, and you start at number 10. You have to kill the other assassins so you can become the best assassin. It's just a cool idea in general, and his friend died.
Yeah, the art style actually is pretty good too, especially considering, like, you know, I think Ubisoft, and I usually immediately just think, like, oh, Assassin's Creed, because everyone seems to love that series. But there's not a whole lot of creativity in the art style of that series, which, you know, creativity and imagination in an art style is something that I appreciate a whole lot. I don't like playing games that are just, you know, like, oh, look at this realistic bloody game. It's so awesome. I'm like, it's uninspired and boring. I need a little bit of light and color and creativity in my games. And so good for Ubisoft back in the Wii days.
Yeah.
At least making a game that has a lot of personality from what I'm seeing.
It really does. It's a really cool game, and I would love a third one. And basically what I'm saying by these two games being as one listing on this wish list is third parties. I as I said in the past, I don't think it's Nintendo's responsibility to fill the console with third parties. It's third parties' responsibilities to come and join Nintendo at this point. But I would love to see a killer third-party app because Nintendo can supply us with lots of awesome stuff that no one else can, but third parties can give us things that Nintendo won't give us at all. So it's cool to see them hopefully fill a void that Nintendo will never fill, such as like Watch Dogs, for instance. I personally liked it, but just that style of game. Like Ubisoft made it, put it on the Wii U, thankfully, and Nintendo's never going to make a game like that. So it's nice to have third-party support for those kinds of reasons. Is what I think. But
I don't know what the odds are of Square Enix getting back on the Nintendo home console bandwagon. But
the rumor is Final Fantasy VII is supposed to be coming to the NX.
Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
That's episodic. Great! Everyone's gonna see it on NX and be like, "Well, that's pretty much last gen by now." I hate that. I mean, put something new and original on the NX is what I say. I mean, the Bravely Default and Bravely Second games, both from Square Enix, they're great. Why is Square Enix all like, "Oh, we love the 3DS, we hate the Wii U"? I want to see some Square Enix legit support on the NX, but maybe that's a pipe dream. I don't know.
It might be at this point. It's really hard to tell the relationships between these different companies and stuff, and it's sad to see great giants like walk away from each other sometimes. But moving on, what is your next game, Holly?
My next game, gotta pull my list up again. Oh, Pikmin 4. And that's just another one where I'm like, I feel like it's almost kind of obvious. I think it could even be a launch title for NX just because Nintendo has confirmed that is being made. Correct? Or did I dream that?
They said it's done.
Yes. So exactly.
Miyamoto literally said, "Yeah, we finished the new Pikmin game.
We made Pikmin 4."
Yeah, like in May. Last May, I think, is when like they had something where
holy smokes,
it was supposed to get announced through the magazine on a certain date. Like it was supposed to come out on a certain date because they did the interview like 2 weeks prior to that, and it's literally just like, "Yeah, so last week we made a new Pikmin game." And everyone's like,
Yeah, that's what it felt like, which is kind of odd. But now, at this point, I'm like, it's a no-brainer for it to be on the NX, right?
Right? I mean, it has to be.
Launch title. Because Nintendo needs a real strong launch with the NX, I feel like. They need to have some great momentum and just keep it going as long as they possibly can, obviously. No droughts, please, with the NX.
I think most people would say that Pikmin 3 was a great game, but it would have been even better as a launch title.
So you think so?
That's what I've heard multiple times, is that Pikmin 3, and it was supposed to be a launch title from everything we supposedly heard.
Yeah, we'd heard about that for a long time before it came out.
And they took a long time to finally decide to release it, but supposedly it was going to be a launch title, and I think it would have been a very good showcase of the Wii U's capabilities at that time, instead of it coming out a little bit later like it did.
It's, you know, weirdly, it's one of my favorite uses of the gamepad, so. But speaking of, and I'm just going to go on to my next pick, if you will, which is Super Mario, because we're talking about Animal Crossing and Pikmin, especially Pikmin. It's not, you know, necessarily a big Nintendo juggernaut series. If Nintendo can release a couple of solid games in kind of their less popular franchises and then blast a new amazing Super Mario game on the NX right when it launches, I think that could be a pretty good launch. I mean, you don't want to see a new Mario game, a big new Metroid game, a big, you know, everything that everybody wants right on launch day. And so, you know, if there's a Metroid game in the works, maybe save that for another time. But I feel like if you've got an Animal Crossing and a Pikmin and a Super Mario right at launch, you've got a pretty dang good launch for first-party Nintendo games with plenty of opportunity to release more big IP games later on so that the console doesn't lose steam too quickly. So, yeah, that's my last prediction and hope is for a new Super Mario game on the NX.
I would be more than happy for a new Super Mario game, and I don't know about you, I want a new Galaxy game. Like, I don't know if I want a new Galaxy game in the vein of like it has to be Galaxy or it can't be anything. But I hold a lot of love and nostalgia for the original Galaxy and Galaxy 2 obviously as well. But I want to see Super Mario Universe, Super Mario Nexus, because you know it's coming on the NX, so you got to do that thingamajig.
Of course.
But I don't know. It would be just really cool to go back to that world and environment. Or you know what would be cool? I mean, you know, we see these different games and they're coming out, and Super Mario 3D World was obviously awesome by every respect. But what if we just returned to the castle? Like, what if we just got a Super HD? Like, I don't necessarily think it needs to be a remake, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. But what if we did get, like, Super Mario Castle? And it was literally going back to the Super Mario 64 style. You go back to the castle. So it is basically Galaxy, because, in my opinion, Galaxy is a sequel to Super Mario 64 by a lot of accounts. So, I mean, just that open-ended style that feels like you're kind of, like, playing in a playhouse of sorts. I don't know. I think it could be really cool. But I did like the frantic and crazy nature that was 3D World as well.
Yeah, that game is absolutely gorgeous as well. And the soundtrack was phenomenal. So I'm actually... Super Mario 3D World to me felt quite fresh. Like, everybody's just like, give us or bring back Galaxy. Well, what if Nintendo kind of surprises us with a new direction? I would not say no to that at all.
I agree. I would like to see a new direction. That was one of the problems with 3D World, is it was not new direction. It was kind of a riff on 3D Land for the 3DS. So I think that was the small problem that people had with it at first, was just like, I remember when I mean, do you remember the Direct? It was plagued with like terrible connection issues, and they showed off this new Mario game, and it wasn't clear immediately from the start because of the connection issues that it was for the Wii U, and it did look, because of the quality, once again, because of the issues of the stream in the beginning of it, it did look like a sequel to the 3DS game. There was a lot of disappointment built around that game, sadly, because it did turn out to be such an amazing game. But there was a lot of things against it at first.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, people kind of associated it with Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS, which in and of itself was such a great game. But I guess people just thought like, well, geez, you're associating this console game with a handheld game that could, you know, never live up to its console counterpart. I think that's a little unfair, but yeah, you're kind of right about that. But to me, like I say, despite the kind of comparison that you kind of have to make to 3D Land, 3D World is great, and it felt very fresh and great to me.
You can't make me stop loving that game, because it is very, very good. But moving on to my next pick, actually, for this list of possible and wish list stuff, is actually indies in general. And I'm just saying that in the most broad sense of the form, that I think the Wii U had I personally believe the Wii U had a good launch. I actually like the games that came out for it. I thought they did a good job representing a lot of different genres, a lot of different age ranges. Like, I think the Wii U had a good launch that for some reason people look at like a poor launch. I don't know why, but people do. And something else I think they did a good job on the launch of the Wii U was the amount of indie games that came to the eShop, such as like Trine 2, and there was Mutant Muds, Mutant Muds.
Oh, just, Deluxe Edition or whatever.
The HD version of the WayForward game that's escaping me for some reason.
Mighty Switch Force,
yes.
And, I love the soundtrack to that game.
And there's just a lot of other really cool indie games that came out for it as well. And over the years, something that I think the Wii U can say very confidently that they did well was they had really good indie support. And it showed Nintendo trying to play hardball, getting good indie games over to the service. And like me and you said jokingly that, you know, because we know what they're doing at E3 and we know that nothing else is coming, there are still very good indie games that are coming to the platform, which is a reason to be excited to keep playing on the Wii U, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So I think indie for NX could be a huge thing. As you've heard me say, listeners, and I'm going to say it again, Holly, you might be getting annoyed, but Nintendo Box could be like Steam. It could be the most open-ended platform for indie developers to come over and showcase awesome ideas. Steam
yeah,
is big
except, what do you mean by Nintendo Box?
I mean NX. I'm just saying the Nintendo Box, whatever it is going to be, the
whatever
NX
it
in
is.
General.
It's going to be called Nintendo Box because there's an X in box.
Oh my
goodness.
Gosh, I just broke
genius.
It. I just figured it out. I just want it to be called the Nintendo. That's it, personally. I just want why not Nintendo Entertainment System? Is it, why can't we just go back?
I think there might be a little confusion about that, but
sure, whatever. Why not Super Wii U? That would not piss off
I'm
anybody.
I'm so excited. Oh, I'm
would,
sure.
That would not make anybody angry if they called it the Super
goodness.
Wii U. That'd be great.
I think Kimishima, president of Nintendo, has already specified that it's not going to have anything to do with Wii or two eyes at all or anything like that.
It's
going to
be called
thankfully.
Like Nintendo Hardcore Platform. It's going to be called the
That's
the
a little uninspired.
NHP. The NHP. Instead of the NX, it's going to be NHP, Nintendo Hardcore Platform.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Before I reveal my surprise game and prediction, what is your final?
Just a good old game. Classic Kirby game. I want something that feels a little bit more inspired of Kirby's adventure than it does, like, what crazy scenario can we put Kirby in this week? So I know that one sounds like not very exciting, but it's my wish list and I get a wish for whatever I want. And something that I personally would want would be just a traditional Kirby game. And honestly, Epic Yarn is probably my favorite Kirby game still, because it's that and Canvas Curse are just such good games. But I would really, really like to see just a classic old school Kirby's Adventure game for the whatever the NX is going to be. I think
yeah,
be
with some
really
kind
cool.
of creative art style as well, because if it just, you know,
really
looks
cool.
Like
yeah.
Kirby's Return to Dreamland, Kirby Planet Roboblox, Kirby, what was that other one on the 3DS? I already forget. Triple Deluxe.
They
all, you know, they all kind of look the same. I want kind of a new art style. That's why I loved Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Exactly. You remember Kirby's Epic Yarn for a lot of reasons. One is that it's just a gorgeous art style on the Wii,
yes.
No less. Like, it looks stunning on the Wii.
Oh, yeah. So, I guess you're waiting for my surprise game.
we had a nice long pause there. I hope everyone checked their... I hope everybody reached in their pocket and pulled out their iPod or their phone and, like, what happened? I hope everybody just did that right now.
I'm just trying to build suspense over here.
What's going
to
happen?
So, the idea that I came up with just before the podcast that I thought was pretty genius is... some kind of game that is totally dedicated to and revolves around...
Why are you doing this to us, Holly?
Amiibo.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a that needs to happen.
Yeah, at some point, even if it's later on than the, you know, launch window for the NX. But yeah, Nintendo's got a really awesome collection of Amiibos out there at this point, and it's only gonna grow. And speaking of that, we're actually getting finally Marie and Callie from Splatoon.
The squid. Yeah, the what are they?
Sisters.
Squid Sisters, yes.
So that's pretty awesome.
I don't care anything about them, but I do think it's cool that Amiibo is kind of a showcase as to, like... Wow. I think it's cool that Amiibo very, very well, like, give you a representation of your interests and allow you to go and participate in another fashion besides, like, playing a game. You get to buy these old Chotskis and display them. You know, like my Ryu. Like, I love Street Fighter and I like Ryu a lot, so it's awesome that I have an Amiibo to represent that. I just think that's cool. My collection will be complete, finally, as soon as Cloud comes out. That's, I believe, the very last one that I kind of need for my collection to be complete as of right now, that is.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, an Amiibo game. I think the closest Nintendo has gotten to making a game that makes really good use of Amiibo and is totally original. Like, I mean, we got Amiibo Tap, but that just lets you play
that is a joke.
old Nintendo games. I actually kind of enjoyed it because I realized, like, you can tap the Amiibo multiple times and get into later parts of old games that you'd never get to those later parts normally, correct? Am I right?
I mean, yeah, it was a cool idea, executed kind of lame, I thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I did get some enjoyment out of that. But that's not an original game. The closest Nintendo, I feel, has gotten to a good, just Amiibo-centric game is Mini Mario and Friends Amiibo Challenge. Yeah, that's what that's called. But even that, like, I played that a little bit before it actually was released to the general public, because I bought my Roy Amiibo and got some codes for that before it was, like I say, made available to the general public. I enjoyed it a little bit. I do enjoy the concept of it was great, but, you know, it's just kind of a smaller project. I want, like, a big old Amiibo-centric project for the NX. Maybe not lunch, but, you know, at some point. So, yeah, that was my surprise.
Do you want to, like, are you familiar in any capacity with Minecraft?
Not really.
I mean, but you know what it is?
I know, it's, you know, it's like open world sandbox type situation where you can build your own worlds, basically.
I mean, that's very, bare bones execution of what it is, but... look it up a little bit. They have it on the Wii U too, Holly. You might consider checking it out. It's kind of a fun...
I've considered it a little.
Here's the problem with it, though. is there's no real direction with the game. I mean, there's not a story, right. There's not a reason, there's not an ending.
Well,
so
there's story mode. I mean, there's a whole separate thing you can buy.
That's
Minecraft
different.
Story mode.
That's completely, okay. That's Telltale.
That that's why I don't, that's why I don't get Minecraft, is because so much confusion. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm buying if I buy something
it's,
with Minecraft on in it.
It's good. It's different. And there is kind of a make your own story as you go type situation going on. There is a way to like kill a dragon if you want to look into doing that, which takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. Think about a open-ended RPG that revolves around you actually doing everything. Like, there is no NPC to tell you to do this or tell you to do that, and you have to kind of play with the wiki at all times, which is, you know what I mean, kind of annoying to a certain extent.
Yeah, I don't like that idea.
It's not a walkthrough, but it is a wiki. Think of it, here's the problem, is I feel like this game could have been really cool. And I do like it, but what I'm saying is I think it could have been really cool if you bought it in stores, and when you bought it, it came with a manual, and when you played the game, it gave you like certain recipes so you could create things very quickly, but then it gave you like all the pictures of what you could make, and then it left some of the things blank, and then you had to figure out what you filled those things in with so that you could kind of make notes about your journey throughout your game time that you spent.
Oh yeah, that'd
with
be cool.
It.
But, well, they've got like whole manuals. I work at a public library, and we have Minecraft manuals.
Those are cool.
Handbooks and things.
We have one in our house that tells us about like cool building structures and how you can like get the most out of like doing different like builds and stuff. So it's very, very cool stuff. And it's a very involved community. That's for sure. Minecraft is a world all upon its own, for sure.
What's the point of this tangent, though? I'm starting to wonder.
Oh.
Something to do with Amiibo?
Yeah. I want Nintendo to crack the Minecraft code and allow you to scan in like a Mario Amiibo, and now you have like a bunch of Mushroom Kingdom themed items. I want to scan in.
I don't know.
I want to scan in like Pikachu, and now you have a bunch of Pokemon randomized skinned items. And I don't know. I think it'd be cool. Or even quests would be kind of neat if they figured out a really nice way to, like, you scan Mario, and instead of, like, rescuing Princess Peach, you have to go rescue Mario from, like, a castle or something.
Doesn't sound too bad. I'm on board now.
Turning turning itself on its head, I think, is really the way to take advantage of Amiibo, is the way that I see it.
Okay.
But I think that's about it,
Polly.
We'll
see what Nintendo does,
if
anything.
We talked about our wish list, we talked about what we've been playing, what we bought, and also we talked about some Pokemans. So I think we are done for this week of exciting Nintendo Fever, episode 61, craziness.
I think we are.
I think I hosted okay. I'm a little rusty.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while.
Oh, you were great.
Well, I had a blast, and listeners, thank you so much for watching and or listening / watching at YouTube. I don't even know how that works, but
there's not much to watch on YouTube, admittedly.
No,
but
I think you should totally, the next time whoever uploads it, so just like find a picture of me like doing like the thumbs up, so everyone can just stare at my face while they listen to it.
Yeah, we'll look into that at a future time.
But yes, and also don't forget, if this is Monday, today's a Monday, go and check out the YouTube channel right now for your chance to win $10 eShop credit. If it's Tuesday, well, go and listen to the one you're listening to now on YouTube. Wow, my head is hurting again. But
well, keep in mind, we've got some codes to give away in the future.
Oh, yes.
We just have to figure out the details. And so keep listening. There will be more giveaways to come.
There will be video games very soon. Very, very soon. But as for now, we are all done. My name is Matt. You can find me on Twitter at OnlyMattDezen. You can find Holly at
Holly Felmuth.
And you can find the Nintendo Fever podcast / Nintendo Fever website, Twitter account at Nintendo Fever. And you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Nintendo Fever. Thank you guys.
Actually, I'm not sure if that's the link to the YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Well, you can go to youtube.com and then in the search window type in Nintendo Fever and you can find us that way.
No space.
You'll
see the logo.
We are
so just
fever.
Look for that.
We are a fever filled with Nintendo.
Yeah, what
exactly.
He said.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for being a part of it. Send us emails, send us tweets, and until next time, we will see you when we put the controller down.
See you later.